Lashem. And now we're going to the next. Again, what he's doing in this perek, and we're not finished with it by a long shot, is going through all the different possible averas that have branches and sub-branches and sub-branches, and that if you want to really be clean from these averas, right, then you have to be very careful of the subtleties too, not just the more overt and obvious parts of the avera, and that's the meat of Nikias. So far he's gone through quite a few different averas. Okay, now he's going to go through the next one. One of the biggest areas of halacha, and it's something that is very common, right? It's not it's not something that comes, you know, once a year or once every 28 years or whatever. Something comes every week. So these halachas are, and they're not like kashrus that, you know, if you do what you normally do, usually no problems. Here, every Shabbos, you have to know what you're doing, and not what doing, so if you leave Mechal Shabbos on it. So Hilchos Shabbos are one of the areas that a person has to know and be careful of. Okay. And same thing with Hilchos Yontif. Hilchos Yontif less, because Yontif comes less often than Shabbos, but the laws of Yontif, because of that, are less known than the laws of Shabbos. So each one has an upside and a downside, but there's so many halachas and so many things you can do during Yom Tov, during Shabbos, that if you don't really know the halachas and take them into mind, the Chafetz Chaim says, somebody who doesn't learn and review constantly Hilchos Shabbos, impossible they shouldn't be Mechal Shabbos. There's always something that you didn't realize or you didn't know, and you would have known, you wouldn't have known it. Right, the laws of Shabbos encompass a tremendous amount of things. There are many, many halachas when it comes to Shabbos. And we're not only talking about Isurim Deoraisa, right, the 39 halachas. We're talking about things that the Rabbanan prohibited because of Shvus. Even though they're rabbinic, Shvus is, there are different kinds of Shvus. Shvus is what kids usually say, Mukta. You know, but Mukta is only one kind of a Shvus. But Mukta became like an umbrella word for anything that's Asur on Shabbos is Mukta. So, but Shvus means for a few reasons. One is, the Rabbanan Asured things on Shabbos because they were afraid that if you allow people to do this, they'll end up doing something else. Example, example of Muktzah. They assured using or touching matches because you may come to light them. Now, it's easier to forget to light a match if you're allowed to touch it and move it around. But if you can't touch it and move it around, the worst you'll do is forget to touch it, but you're two steps removed from lighting a match. So that's one kind of Gzeir of the Rabbanan. Don't do this because this could easily lead to doing something else that's also from the Torah. That's one kind of Xavier. Then there's another kind. We're not afraid that you're going to end up doing something on Shabbos because you did X, Y, or Z. But it's so similar to something that's usher on Shabbos that if we let you do this, next Shabbos you'll say, well, last Shabbos or next hour you'll say, well, I was allowed to do this, I'm probably allowed to do this too. And in another action, you'll do something usher because you'll think that if you was allowed to do this, I'm allowed to do that too. That's another kind of zera. So we're not afraid that this is going to lead you to do something that's usher from the Torah, but we're afraid that at this time, like lighting a match, well, if you touch the matches, you're going to end up lighting them. No. But if I allow you, the Rabbanan said, to do this, which is so similar to a Torah prohibition, you're not going to differentiate between this being mutter and this being usher, and you're going to end up at some point later doing a Torah prohibition, thinking that it's okay since you were allowed to do this other thing.
An example.
And there's a million malachas. What's it called? Alicia. Right? You're not allowed. What's usher is, let's say, a heavy batter. Okay. Making a heavy batter, that's usher on Shabbos. A light batter could be is only usher mid rabbanan. Okay, that's not real lisha. But the Rabbanim were afraid if we let you mix a solid and a liquid in a light batter, you'd think that what's the difference of that and making it a thick batter? And how much difference is there between a light batter and a little bit thicker batter? And you'll end up, based on the fact that you were allowed to do this, do something worse. So therefore, the Rabbanan assured even that which is not also from the Torah, the light batter, for fear that if we let you do a light batter, not that because of this light batter you're going to come to do something to us or Shabbos, it's only a light batter. But at some later time, you'll say, well, if I was allowed to do this, I'm allowed to do this too. And you'll end up doing something to us from the Torah. That's an example. Another, yeah?
Wouldn't that just tie into what we talked about before? Putting a pickle next to a piece of kugel, and most people would say, what's the difference between that and putting it on top?
Yeah, but we don't make our own zayrs. So therefore, if the Rab, since the whole thing, even on top, is only a chumrah, because most probably it doesn't have a din of a kli risho, it has a din of a kli sheni. So even if you put it on top, there's a chance you'd only be over nisad rabbanan, right? And therefore, the rabbanan didn't make a gzeira, right, not to put things next to, even though they could put it on top, because the whole thing is could be only the rabbanan's. And besides that, the Rabbanan saw where it was necessary to have a gzeira, but they didn't see it was necessary, even though it could come. If they didn't make the gzeira, we don't make new gzeiras. So why don't you careful yourself is one thing. But to be afraid that you're going to come to do something else has to be something the Rabbanan made a gzeira. Not you. We don't make new gzeiras. Okay, what other kinds of things are there of shvus? Oh, so there's another kind of shvus. Those are shvusim that we're afraid that you'll come to do an issur d'oraisa. There's other shvusim that you won't come to do an issur d'oraisa per se, but it ruins the whole idea of shvus on Shabbos. Aside from the fact that the Torah said don't do malacha, it also says tishbos, rest. So, meaning don't make this a secular day. And theoretically, you could have a Shabbos day where you don't do any malacha, and you spend the whole day thinking about your business, right, which is not also from the Torah, or moving around your furniture, or whatever, and you won't have a real positive Shabbos, you just won't have a negative Shabbos. So the Rabbanan took from the mitzvah saseh, aside from the lavim, of not doing malach on Shabbos, the Torah went out of its way to say tishpos, right, that you should rest on Shabbos, not rest physically, but rest from secular activity. So therefore, to make the Shabbos something holy. So therefore, they assert certain things that will never lead you to malacha. That's not the problem. The problem is that it's just not Shabbistic. It's just not, and it doesn't enhance the positive aspects of Shabbos. It makes Shabbos like a regular weekday. So those include things that are called uvdid d'chol, things that are done in a secular way, which makes Shabbos seem to be a secular day, or things that aren't really necessary, don't enhance the Shabbos at all, and to a certain degree, the Rabbanan didn't want you to be involved in those things because they secularize the Shabbos. That's like doing business on Shabbos or whatever, which isn't a malacha, no malachas involved, right? Those kind of things also are also mishum shvus. It's a different kind of shvus. So that's what he's saying. So even the shvus, even the rabbinic things, they are an ikar in making Shabbos in the long run what it's supposed to be. And if you don't do them or you do what's not right, you're not mimchal Shabbos minisa d'oraisa, but lamaisa, you're trivializing Shabbos, which is a serious thing. The chen omru la'olam al tehi shvus kala beinecha. Right? An example of a shvus that is an uvde d'chol is what's it called? Is you making use of animals? Okay, the rabbanan asked it because not what Shabbos did. What do you have to be mishtamish with growing things or with living things or whatever? So because of that iser, that you're not allowed to mishtamish b'balei chayim, there was a shaila whether you could make smicha on an animal that you brought as a korban on Shabbos and Yontif usually. right? Shabbos anyway, you can't put knife in the korban. So the yontif. So what's it called? And it was a machlokas that went on for generations. One hold you could make smicha, one hold you can't make smicha. It's only the rabbinic thing. And they argued about it for generations, and this was the avdezdin of these generations of Pirkei Avos. One held one way and the other one held, and it was the first real argument that wasn't settled in the Sanhedrin immediately and went on for generations. And it was important enough to argue about and to cause this kind of dissension in Klal Yisrael for generations. And all it was about was a rabbinic thing that anyway was not a Torah prohibition, but they can lean on this animal and make smicha or not. The Nechlechu Bagadol, it was important enough for people to argue about and remain arguing about it for generations. V'ulam, Protein Hadinim L'machlukosam Mivu'arim Heimetz L'poskim B'sifreya. However, Shabbos does have a positive side to it in so far that these halachas are pretty well defined. And you can open up a Shulchan Aruch and find the halachas of Shabbos. And today you can even find millions of books that go into more and more detail in any language that you understand that will tell you all the details of Hilchos Shabbos. V'kulam shovim l'chovoseinu bom u'l'zehiros ha-mitzvareh. And therefore a person has the ability, Shabbos is at least one area of halacha which, if you want, you can learn about, and it's pretty clear, and you can be careful, right? If you know what there is to be careful about. Umashi koshel hamon. So, what's really difficult about Shmirah Shabbos? Shmirah so hu ashvisa min ha'esek umidaber b'mason matan. The most difficult thing about Shabbos, which most people find difficult, is not being involved with your business pursuits on Shabbos, not talking about it or whatever, and not dealing with it, thinking about it, planning about it or whatever. V'ulam ha'isra zemavur b'divrei hanavi. This is not only something that the Rabbanan answered; it was already an isra midivrei neviim. V'kibadeto me'asos rachecha. Right, the Navi says in Yishayahu that you should honor the Shabbos and not do your personal secular things. Mimtso cheftzecha v'daber dover. Right? And there are basic halachas that deal with what you're allowed to talk about on Shabbos. That's daber dover. And mimtso cheftzecha, what kind of things you're allowed to be involved in, even though they're not malachos, but they're preparation for business kind of things. Things that you're not allowed to do because we're afraid you may come to do isurim, right? Like not to be involved in things like ishtaros and marriage and these kind of things because you may come to write documents which are associated with these things. V'aklalhu shekoma she'osir b'shabbos lasoso osir l'shtadl bavura o laskiru b'thiv. Anything you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, you're also not allowed to be involved in it, in preparing for it, or talking about it, usually. For lachain asu la'ayim b'nechasav liros matzorik l'mocher. You can't go inspect your property to see what you need to do tomorrow, right? Even though you're not doing anything asur now, but just the inspection is an isra of hachana and an isra of nimsochef tzecha, of being involved in your own secular things, even though you're not doing anything right now, but you're preparing and investigating what needs to be done tomorrow. So you have to go somewhere on a trip or whatever, and you want to get close to the airport. So you want to walk within the tchum and get close there. Certain times it's mutter, depends what you're doing for, but most of the time it's also to do that. The also lomer dover ploni eselamacher, or even to mention, I'm going to do this tomorrow, which is also to do today. You can't even mention it out verbally because that's daber dover. Now let's talk about things that are usher to do on Shabbos that you're going to do after Shabbos. O schora plonis ekna l'mocher. I'm going to buy such and such a thing tomorrow. You can't mention it on Shabbos. That's a daber dover. The chen kol ki osim is there. All these similar things are not usher neikar adin. They're not lamites malachas. You're not going to be chayim misa if you do them. They're the subtleties, the sub branches of Shabbos. But there's millions of them. So if you want to be Noki in Shmirah Shabbos, it's not good enough just not to drive and answer the phone. Right? There's a lot of other things on Shabbos to know, and if you don't learn them and you don't get in the habit of doing them, it's impossible. You shouldn't be Mechal Shabbos in at least Yisurid Rabbodot. So Nikias, when it comes to Shabbos and Yontif, is a very intricate kind of thing to be Noki totally from any kind of even the rabbinic and peripheral things of Shabbos. Okay. Yeah, most of the time Machshav is mutter. Only Dibur is Osir. Most of the time Machshav is mutter, but it's still not the greatest thing to spend your whole Shabbos thinking about your work and business or whatever. You're not still not keeping a positive shot. Maybe doing anything negative, but it's definitely not a positive shot.
Rav, how about Torah tidbits? Like, has a lot of businesses in there?
So if you have no connection to those things, right, you're not planning to go on a cruise, you know, to I don't know where they have these cruises or whatever. And you're just reading it because it's interesting. Probably there's no issue in doing that. If, however, you are interested in going on a cruise and you pick up the Torah tidbits on Shabbos and you see that they're advertising cruises and you take, you're not allowed to read it. If, the same thing goes with all these other things, right? If you're just reading it because it's there and it's interesting reading material, it's probably not us. If you're reading it because there's a chance that in the future you would want to make use of, the guy that's house painter or the other ones that are there, whatever, then what's it called, then if you're looking at to see when I give a shiur, that's for sure okay. The other things are questionable. Okay. V'hinei ad heina divarti min tzas ha-mitzvos ma'ashonu roim shebnei odin esholim b'maro. Till now I gave you a taste, he says, of certain mitzvahs that have a lot of details to them and that you have to take in consideration if you want to really be clean from these avirus. I can't go through, he says, the entire Torah, but you can use these as an example for all the other prohibitions and mitzvahs. There's no isser in the Torah that doesn't have branches and sub-branches. Some more serious, some less serious, but if you want to be clean, serious, not serious, doesn't make a difference. You want to fulfill this mid of Nikius, then it's across the board. Okay. Kvar omru chazal, shinayich ke'eder harechelim, ma rochel zet snua, kacho yisrael snui mukshem b'mechemes midyan. Okay. It brings down now, when Klal Yisrael were talking Nikiyim, even in the time of war, when they went out to war with Midian, they were very, very modest and very careful not to be over on anything. Rav Huna b'shem Rav Ach Omer shelo hikdim echad meyam tefillin shel rosh tefillin shel yad. They didn't let the war situation mix them up, and that they ended up putting on their tefillin shel rosh before the tefillin shel yad. No, they had their wits about them and did everything proper, even though it was a war situation. Because if they had done even the smallest thing wrong in a time of danger, that may have been something that would have made a difference, that they didn't come back. Everybody came back. Nobody was lost. Obviously, they were 100% clean. A person who talks between Yishtabach and Yotze, not L'dvar Mitzvah. And he's the kind of person that when he hears the Kohen say, whoever's afraid of the virus that he has, or whatever, go home, this guy could be afraid. Right? Even if you're not 100% clean in the time of danger, even a small avera could make the difference that you won't come back alive. So if you're really afraid, you know you have these averas, you didn't do tshuva, go home. From here you see how careful a person has to be if you want to really be clean from averus, and therefore be able to say that you're not afraid, you know, even in a difficult time, that something that you have could be a negative mekatrig against you, you have to be careful, even the most subtle kind of things. What's coming up now is, now that he finished giving you examples of various mitzvahs and averis, now he's going to go into another area of Torah, which is not necessarily mitzvahs and averis, midos. How a person has to work on his midos to be 100% clean, and midos are not necessarily mitzvahs or averis, but like Reb Chaim Vital says, the midos are the foundation of all mitzvahs. Because if you don't have midos tovos, there's pretty much not too many mitzvahs you're going to be able to do properly. So that we will get to in Mitzvah Hashem next week.